Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians, also known as the Wadani. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That same love that loved Noah and Abraham and Daniel and some of the other great witnesses. It's an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. It also says, underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about witnessing. Now, a witness is somebody who has seen something, isn't it? Somebody who knows something. If you're standing on a street corner and there's a collision in front of you, you are a witness. You've seen it. You know something about it. This car was going north, this car was going east, somebody didn't stop for the stop sign. You know something. You may be called upon to tell about it in court. But the only thing that the court and the jury and the judge are going to be interested in is what you know, what you actually saw. They don't care what you had for breakfast. They don't care what you think. They want to know, what you saw. The first letter of John begins with these words. We are writing to you about something which has always existed, yet which we ourselves actually saw and heard. Something which we had opportunity to observe closely and even to hold in our hands. And yet, as we know now, was something of the very Word of Life Himself. For it was life which appeared before us. We saw it. We are eyewitnesses of it, and are now writing to you about it. It was the very life of all the ages, the life that has always existed with the Father, which actually became visible in person to us mortal men. We repeat, we really saw and heard what we are now writing to you about. We want you to be with us in this fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. We must write and tell you about it, because the more that fellowship extends, the greater the joy it brings to us who are already in it. And that's one of the reasons why, for Jan and me, it is just an unspeakable privilege to have this radio program. Because, as John said, the more the fellowship extends, the greater the joy it brings to us who are already in it. I'm sure that there are many listening out there who would not consider themselves a part of the fellowship of the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. Maybe you'd like to be a Christian. Maybe you've sort of thought that you could be. Maybe you've called yourself a Christian, but you're not real sure about it. And here's this program, one of hundreds of programs, where we're talking about the gospel and about the good news. The joy that it brings to us is the knowledge that people are being turned to contemplate who Jesus Christ is, to think about His claims on their lives. But I think for almost all of us, no matter how many sermons we've heard, how many radio broadcasts we might have listened to, how many books we might have read, how many tracts we might have been given, most of us have seen the life of Jesus Christ lived out in some ordinary human being who was a Christian, somebody who literally made the truth visible for us, somebody about which you noticed a difference. Maybe it was a college student when you were a college student. You noticed that girl in the dormitory who was always reading her Bible or praying. And because she read her Bible and prayed, you thought, I wonder if she's a hypocrite like all the rest of them. And you watched. And there were things about her that were different. She didn't cheat. She didn't plagiarize. She didn't get her papers in late. She kept her room in reasonable order. Something about her word, her life, and her action told you that that woman was different. Yesterday we talked about the story of Abraham having to go up that mountain and lay his son Isaac on the altar, on top of the wood, and tie him down and raise the knife. Witnessing conquers the world, the scripture says, but it doesn't exempt us from suffering, not necessarily. Can you put yourself in the place of Abraham? Can you imagine if the voice of God spoke to you unmistakably and said, I want that son of yours. I want that only daughter of yours, that precious baby. Well, thank the Lord, he's never asked anybody else to make that kind of a sacrifice, not that we know of. And in the end of the story, of course, Abraham was not required to slit his son's throat. God provided a substitute, a ram caught in a thicket. But how do we know what faith is? From what the Bible says? Yes, but primarily from what the lives showed. Take the example of Daniel. Here was a young man willing to be different. He was taken into the court of a heathen king. But his witness was so pure that jealous ministers and satraps knew that they'd never find anything against him except in his religion. And there was one thing they knew about Daniel, and that was that he was a praying man. They knew that they would not find any immorality or dishonesty or cheating in him. And so, with demonic cunning, they cooked up the idea of getting the king to make an edict against praying. Well, if Daniel had been a cautious, judicious, self-serving, and self-saving man, I think he would have gone out and done his praying on the golf course with his eyes open. You hear about people saying that the reason they don't go to church is because they can get closer to God in nature. But that's not what Daniel did. He knelt by the window, facing Jerusalem, three times a day, just exactly the way he had done before. You know, he didn't know the words of Jesus that would be spoken thousands of years later. He that saveth his life shall lose it. Daniel never tried to save himself. He went ahead with his routine prayers. And of course, they got him. His enemies got him. And the penalty was the lion's den. They took him to the king. They reported that he was disobeying the king's edict. And the king had to put him into the lion's den, as he had promised to do. Now, this is interesting. It says the king had a terrible night. Nothing could soothe him. He was used to having the women of his harem brought into him at night. He was used to having the finest of foods and wines, but nothing could pacify him or put him to sleep that night. What sort of a night did Daniel have? Well, Daniel had a wonderful night. The lions were there. They certainly were there. And I believe the lions were just as hungry as they usually were. But it wasn't just Daniel and the lions in that den. The angel of God was there. And in the Old Testament, that expression, the angel of God, usually means God himself. And so the king got up very early in the morning, couldn't wait to get over there to the lion's den to find out if there was a shred of a bone left. No trace of injury was found on him, the Bible says, because he had put his faith in his God. What do you think that did to the king? His witness had resulted in his making the truth visible to that king. That king knew that Daniel's God was the true God. Now, does having faith in God guarantee physical safety? No, certainly not. There are plenty of stories of servants of God who lost their lives, very often at the hands of evil men, Read the Bible, you'll find them. But then there were some friends of Daniel's, and their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they, too, disobeyed the king's edict. King Nebuchadnezzar had made an image of gold 90 feet high. Do you know how high that is? That's about 9 stories, could be 12 or 15 stories with today's low ceilings. 90 feet high and 9 feet broad, and he had set it up on the plain, and he sent out the summons to assemble the satraps and the prefects and the viceroys and the counselors and the treasurers and the judges and the chief constables and all governors of the provinces. And whenever they heard the sound of the horn, the pipe, the zither, the triangle, the dulcimer, the music and singing of every kind, they had to prostrate themselves. And, of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not prostrate themselves when they heard the sound of the horn, the pipe, the zither, the triangle, the dulcimer, music, and singing of every kind. And so what happened? The king said that they were going to have to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Now, their testimony was loud and clear. And our time is up for today, and we're going to go on with the story of how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made the truth of their faith visible. That's what witnessing is about.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.